Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Irina Kay again, your relationship mentor for the Divas That Care Network. And today I have with me a highly accomplished photographer, Marsha Dolgan from New Hampshire. Marsha was born and raised in Vermont, the oldest of five children in a dysfunctional family where safety and trust were not a priority, but she survived and thrived by staying in her creativity. She considered medicine, but then went into fine arts, looking for the truth. But what she found was picking up everybody else's vibes, which was very confusing for her. Now, Marsha, thank you so much for being here with us. I'm thinking what people would say is, what does that mean, picking up everybody else's vibes? I know that you say you are an empath. Would you be able to explain what that means?
Yes, thank you. So being an empath is just someone who has a higher sensitivity to the vibrations that are around her or him. And this kind of energy can come in the form of emotional energy. It can come in the form of, primarily it's emotional energy. And so when a person who has this higher sensitivity is in an environment that might be toxic toxic, just as a topic, that energy sometimes gets confusing to the empath, to the person who has that sensitivity, where they may or may not be aware that energy is not coming from them, but they think it is, because that it's so confusing. So being in college, everybody knows, anyone who's been in college, let's put it that way, knows that there's certainly ups and downs that all of our neighbors and associates and best friends all go through, including ourselves. Yeah. So to be able to make that distinction when you're not even, when the word empath didn't even exist primarily, was very confusing. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. So you're saying basically that you're picking up other people's feelings mostly, and then you're not sure if they're your own.
Right. Mm-hmm. At that time, that was true.
Yeah. So you have learned to deal with this by going into your art or just by life experience?
You know, it's interesting. So back in the day, we didn't have the word empath.
Right.
Really. So it was I didn't figure it out for a really long time. And it sent me more into creativity because it was the only place that was safe. You know, I could have my own focus and my own direction. And I was working with another person, and I would have that energy. And I learned to take control of myself and take control of the situation as much as possible, seeing as I was the photographer. When I became a photographer, so that I could focus on them 100% if I wanted. Well, I definitely would. I mean, we're focused on them 100%. What I found was when you are focusing on something 100%, you are essentially giving unconditional love. Even if it's to a flower, but let's just say you're doing it to a human who has their own baggage. When they get that kind of energy, they give it back in a beautiful way. So that was addictive for me. I really found it was a very safe and it was hard work, but it was safe and it was beautiful. And it also raised the bar on the photographs. Let me tell you, they were gorgeous.
I believe you, because I know that you said you studied with Ansel Adams, and I don't know whether the audience knows Ansel Adams, but I'm buying his calendars every year. They're beautiful black and white photographs of landscape. And then you also studied on the East Coast with the best female portrait and event photographer in the Boston area. You had many awards won among your peers. And then when you started your own studio focusing on women, you were so booked and so in demand that you actually turned down Oprah, right?
Yes. But that happened because I was on New England television frequently, and by being on with that kind of exposure back in that day, that was that just totally booked me up. I had no time no time and really no interest. I felt like someone else should enjoy that in Chicago.
See, I mean, you must be extremely accomplished to not have time for Oprah, I'd say.
Well, you know, I didn't see the gain for me. And I felt that I felt that someone else could have that because I was busy. I didn't need the gain from that.
That's wonderful. Well, what you said before is kind of striking a chord. You're saying you felt safe when you were focusing on your photography, and that's what you wanted to give to others as well. You gave women the permission and the safety to express their own vision through you when they were not judged. And that was a concept that was like almost unheard of back in the late 80s.
Right. It's very true. At that time, majority of photographers were men, and there was photography was much more formalized at that time too. And I wanted to loosen up all of the parameters. And I also did not want the women to be judged. And if a man is doing the photographs at that time, because things have changed a lot, you know, they were putting their own preferences in place before they were taking care of their clients. And it was not, you know, everybody who came out of a photograph session, I can't say this globally, but just generally speaking, they were at risk of being marginalized by the man's preferences. So I went about this completely differently. I wanted every woman who wanted this to have the opportunity to be treated incredibly well and to be honored and to be not judged. And that was what I wanted. So I was giving that, and it was so much fun. It was a heck of a lot of work, but it was so much fun, and the results were just amazing. So I did that for a number of years until I needed to stop doing that particular thing. But it was fabulous. And I just did families and children, and I was able to go to the next level, all the other levels.
That's beautiful. Also, what you said about, you know, giving back, giving the way you were giving to these women was giving unconditional love, and it just reflected right back on you. Is that something you were able to do in your relationships?
No, not always. Let me tell you what the requirements are for that to happen.
Please
first, because I tried it. And I got stepped on. The most important thing you've got to do is you've got to have trust. So if someone comes into your studio or to your home or to your business and they're giving you money, they are trusting you, okay?
Right.
And that is, they've got to give you something of value, because you have to be of value to them. And it does. If you just do this out on the street, give someone unconditional love, if they're a kind person, you'll get something back that'll be wonderful. But if they're not and they don't trust you, you don't know what you're going to get back. And I found that out. I did it. I tried it networking. I tried it socially. I just tried it as an experiment. And what I found was, as long as it was superficial, I was okay. But if I got deep at all, the not knowing me and the lack of trust has had a very negative impact generally, because I was spoiled. You got to understand, I spoiled myself, and I was able to get when someone paid me what I was, my value. And I went through, once we did that, once I had talked to them and we understood that we were on the same page, we were able to do amazing things that blew my mind, because I was open about it. I was very open. I had rules. I had three guidelines, but other than that, I never broke any. I broke all my other rules. It came down to three basic rules. But, and I want to tell you what the rules were. Okay. So the rules were, let me think. I would never do centerfold or explicit photography with them. Number two was, I'd never let them look whipped or submissive. And that I would say, and that's my politics, okay? And the third rule was, they could not do this unless they had fun. Those are my three rules. That's all there was.
The one that speaks to me most is your second rule.
Yeah, that was a good
because
one.
Because that probably comes from your own life experience, right?
Yes, I'm sure it does. But at the time, I remember there was a Guess, G-U-E-S-S, commercial, and it was showing people looking, showing women looking very whipped and submissive. And it really upset me because that was a social stigma that was they were trying to establish. And I was countering that in every way. And so it probably did source from having experience being whipped and submissive, or at least people trying to do that to me. So yeah, it probably did.
You rebelled against that.
Oh, totally.
Mm-hmm. Totally. So obviously if you didn't like it in yourself, you didn't want to ask others to do that.
I wasn't going to ask them to do it. I wasn't allowing it.
Right.
I wasn't allowing it. It was like, it wasn't an option. And I had to make sure that everyone understood that because there were some people, remember, you go on television. I was on television for a week frequently because I helped their ratings, to be quite frank.
The first time
I was on TV, this TV station received 2,500 phone calls. I received 900.
Goodness. Okay,
so
Can you say wow?
Yes. Yeah. Well, this. So, and it, you know, again, this was New England. So you figure the numbers actually work out. So it's probably 250,000 people probably saw it, and it ends up being about 3%, right? So, the whole numbers work out just exactly the way the numbers work out in all kinds of marketing. But in any case, I did not give them that opportunity. So when I went on those TV shows, I literally every single time told people, I love to turn people on to themselves. I this is my program. This is what I do. The non-judgment thing was really important. And then I told them in every single show what my three rules were. Okay, so they knew before they called me. That would get the people who wanted the nudity and wanted X-rated photographs to not call me.
Right.
And I didn't want to deal with that. It was a waste of my time.
So apparently this resonated highly with the audience or the viewers back then, and it probably is the same still, right? So what are you doing right now in your business?
So these days I am shooting less and coaching more. Actually, I shoot probably more now just to so that I can coach. But it's a different impetus. So basically what I'm doing now is I have transitioned from being an active master photographer and a master printer to being an active coach and teacher to frustrated photo enthusiasts, people who have cameras and don't know how to use them, to learn to use their camera as a tool so that they can connect with their heart and creativity and actually experience some of the things that I've experienced, which is that wonderful unconditional love, the ability to be soulful with your experiences, the ability to make superior photographs so that you can see from your mind's eye, you're going to get what you saw as opposed to what the camera gave you. It's been a blast.
Well, that sounds very powerful. Because I know what you just said is it's a tool for the people to connect with their own awareness and the creativity so you can get that soul connection instead of having yeah. the camera depict like a superficial picture. Well, yeah. you get really deep and you get the mind's eye, which obviously has the soul in it, to express itself through photography.
Yeah, that's perfect. You just said that really well. Basically, most people come to me originally because they don't know how to use their camera, but the heart is what made them love photography in the first place. Your heart, we want to pick up the camera and you want to capture what you saw in your mind's eye. So they have this first step, which is, I don't know how to use my camera. Okay, let's take care of that. That's an easy fix. And now let's go into how do we capture what's in your mind's eye? Let's make that connection. So it's a lot about awareness and not judgmental too. I mean, you can have opinions, okay? But you work it out so that you decide what's judgmental and what's not. What is good composition? And how do we control the viewer's eye so that they can see exactly what we thought we saw, what we wanted to express through our mind's eye? It's so exciting.
It sounds fascinating. It also sounds like this is not beginner stuff. This goes really deep. I mean, who would have thought about how do we guide the viewer of a photograph to what you actually saw in depth? I think that is amazingly powerful.
Thank you. It is.
Yes.
And people come out of my classes and coaching with comments like, I can't, you know, I see light in a whole different way. And this is, and other comments, one of the best ones is, you have changed my life. No, I haven't. They have changed their life. This is a total different way of looking at everything, and it makes me feel fabulous. You know, I mean, I hear this kind of thing all the time. How does it affect their lives? You know, they can move around at any point in their life and just open their eyeballs up and just take a look at what's around them and be impacted without the camera. And then they, when they have the, in fact, actually some of them are like, I've got this camera glued to me now. Okay. That's okay. That's like studentitis.
Well, if you get, I mean, you said yourself that the people who are the photograph enthusiasts kind of want to capture the moment that they have obviously a lot of emotion put into.
Yes.
They want to capture that and preserve it somehow.
I think a lot of times they don't realize that it's their heart that's running the show, okay, until it's said. I mean, once it's said, everyone goes, aha, that's right. Okay. I do hear that all the time. It's your heart, which has the strongest vibration of all the organs in your entire body, including your brain.
Yeah.
It's your heart that makes you pick up your camera, and it makes an interpretation, which is what's called your mind's eye. So your heart is actually controlling your brain. It's controlling your desire to pick up that camera, to capture whatever it is that is appealing to you. Okay, it's because it's appealing to your heart. So again, this is all it's almost invisible. It's going on all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't have to sit there and think it's my heart. You don't have to go with stage one, stage two, stage three. It's just happening. So, and this is great work for a person who is an empath or not. You know, you don't have to be. You don't have to be an. What's the word? A person who's outgoing. You can be a very
extrovert.
You don't have to be an extrovert or an introvert. It's a separate issue. It's driving you by your heart.
I believe everybody is driven by their heart, and they sometimes do not listen enough to their heart because a lot of societal rules are in place to keep the heart in check, like the should-haves, yeah. Would-haves. And all these kind of things that we are pressed into and brainwashed into.
Right.
But if you are able to express yourself, and I know that for you, authenticity and honesty are huge.
Yes.
And you said that with your photography, you kind of fled into that creative photography because as an empath, you're picking up other stuff that is negative.
Yeah. Yes. And I have to say, when I'm working one-on-one or even with a family, I find it's much easier for me to go in and pick up the vibes. And oftentimes the vibes are there. I can feel it. And if there's a negative or a toxic thing going on, I have to literally confront it with them so they stop producing it.
Wow.
And I literally will confront them because everyone's feeling it. They just don't know it. So, and I can see it because I'm feeling it from everybody. I don't think I'm unique in this, or maybe I am. I have no idea. I'm only me. But I have been able to stop toxicity just temporarily. And I mean, I will actually bring it up. I will actually pull the person aside and I will actually have a conversation with them. And it's all in love. I want you to know I do it in love. I don't do it like nasty or mean or it's in love and kindness, and it always works. And the one time that it's really tough is when I still do photograph weddings now and then. When I'm doing a wedding and there's a lot of toxicity, I have found over the years that I have, it didn't affect my work in shooting the job, but what it affected was my follow through. And because it's so hard to, that's so hard to, for me to manage. It's so hard.
I believe that is because you're an empath. Other people may be able to brush it off.
Right.
But you feel it in your core.
Yes. And it makes the whole job be, far more challenging than it needs to be. And it's like, okay, well now as an older person now who more mature and also now knows the word empath now, because it does exist, and understands it, I can put it in check. But you know, for a long time I didn't know what it was. And so that was the time. So a lot of times I stay out of big groups.
Well, I can imagine.
Yeah, so I tend to stay away from a lot of big groups. And but if someone hires me to do a job, I mean, I'll do it, and I'll blow their socks off. But because that's my own personal bar, that's my own personal responsibility. That's why they hired me. So, but I have those little, like I said, when there's a giant event like a wedding, and you've got toxicity going on, and I can nail it. I can predict. It's like, oh my God. So I used to do a lot of weddings back in when my kids were little, because they didn't know a Saturday from a Sunday from a weekday.
Right.
But when they got older, I was when they began to have activities on weekends, I started to back off on them. But I used to do a lot. But anyway, so now I'm not doing weddings. Actually, I take it back. I just did one. So I'm not doing as many. You know, I love the creativity. I love what I can do afterwards, how I can present these images and the things that I can do are so much fun. And I'm teaching people, not to do weddings. I'm not teaching people to do weddings at this time, but I'm teaching them, how to make the connections in their own selves so that they can take the next steps. And a number of my students, I don't make a goal of making people prepared to open a studio, although I could. That's not my goal. My goal is to make them be able to produce their mind's eye, and then how they want to do that is their business. But I do have a number of students that are opening their own part-time studios, which is, I'm like, oh my God, it is good. But I got to tell you, I'm recommending they join various professional photograph associations immediately.
Okay.
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
So I have two questions for you at this point. Could you tell somebody in the audience who maybe feel right now that, oh yeah, that sounds like me, I'm an empath as well, what could they do to kind of have the boundaries set up between them and what's around them? Should they avoid large groups, or what could they do?
Well, the first thing they want to do, that's a great question. There's a number of things that you can do. I'll just go with some first things. The first thing you need to do is be aware of yourself and your mind and your body. It's just, you need to really be aware of your body as well and how you are in your body. If you are connected with that, then you're going to know, you're going to have a clue when something comes in that doesn't belong to you. Okay. So having those boundaries, and I don't mean boundaries. Now remember, this is not, you're not making judgments against yourself. You're not, there's nothing negative about this. This is just being aware. So that's one thing. Then when some kind of, if you're in a situation where you're starting to hear or feel some kind of a negative tingle, it may not, and it's just coming out of nowhere, that's coming from somebody, okay? And so what you need to do is, first of all, recognize it. And there's a whole bunch of wonderful meditation things and also some just good psychological tricks. One of them is to put yourself in a bubble.
Right. And, I've heard of that one.
The bubble is powerful. Yeah, the bubble is amazing. I've actually used the, not knowing the empath business, I was putting myself in bubbles left and right when I was in college. I didn't even know it was a thing. But so you put yourself in a bubble is one way. There's actually quite a few ways to isolate yourself in terms of protection. So you can take in all the love and all the kindness you want, but the bubble protects you from the negative stuff. okay? And that's just one of many ways. It's the one I use the most. And it really totally helps me. I recently had attended my son's wedding, and X was there, and he's not good for me.
Right, obviously.
And I put myself in a bubble, and I was able to have a great time. It was the first time we had gotten back together again in 10 years. It worked out really well.
Beautiful.
So that was a real test that I was very worried about, because I didn't want old things to come up, which I continually forgive him. And I didn't want any of those things to come up. I didn't want to have an impact. I didn't want to have a scene. I didn't want anything to happen. And so the best thing I could do to protect myself was to put me in a bubble, and it totally worked. So that's one of many ways to do this. There are specialists and wonderful groups that have support for people who have this extra awareness, this extra right. It's an attractiveness. It's like it's actually attractive, and it also attracts that.
It probably is.
Yeah,
I have heard empaths say it's not a gift, it's a curse. But maybe these were the ones that did not know how to separate themselves from others, because the boundaries were still blurred.
Right. It is a curse if it could become a curse if you allow it to run you. Oh my gosh. Okay. Because then you're taking in, you know, everybody else's bad stuff, and you can't separate your own out. Then you're going to be in a funk forever. It's like crazy. Why would you do that? And if you would do it because you didn't know, that's
right.
All. The thing is that once you know, once you recognize, if you hear what I'm saying and you say, geez, I had these kinds of experiences before, and I feel like, you know, it's a heaviness that doesn't belong to me. That's because, you know, and again, this becomes know your body, know yourself, okay? Because when some of this heaviness comes in, it changes your mind, it changes your body a little bit, okay? It puts you into strength, puts you into stress.
Yes, when
you
don't need definitely.
It. You know, it's and my famous words are energy sucker.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want that. It's not helpful for you.
No.
So how do you get rid of it? Well, if you have it, you can, you know, again, put yourself in a bubble and do some self-care, okay? Take care of yourself.
Self-care.
I mean, it could be fun. It can, even if it's just like, I know I never take bubble baths, but the idea of taking one would be so nice.
Okay, why don't you then? But before I let you go to get your bubble bath, I will have to ask you my other question. So you're saying you don't really do like much personal photography anymore, but what if somebody would like to actually get shot by you? Is that still an option?
Oh yeah. No, I do. I do more personal photography now than I have done ever. Well, I shouldn't say ever. Since I had my studio in my studio location, I'm doing more now because I'm teaching and I'm doing what I'm asking my students to do. So I'm actually shooting more now, more personal stuff than ever. And yes, I'm still available to do photographs for people. I still love it. It didn't go away. It's just a transition.
Okay.
So
what could people do to get in contact with you to either have like a personal shot done or become a student? If they're photograph enthusiasts and really want to step up their game.
They can contact me they can email me at Marsha. My email is Marsha@MarshaDolgin.com. MarshaDolgin.com. Or we can put a link underneath this or somewhere, and I can give you a quick, easy access button to just push, and it'll take you right to a place where I actually have a freebie for those who want to learn three things that they can do before they even pick up a camera that will make a huge difference in their success. And I have that available for you guys to just click on that button. It'll take you right over there and you can download it. So
that is very generous of you.
Yeah, that would be the best thing. And from that, you can contact me directly and I'll be able to set up a conversation with you and we can figure out what would work for you, whether it's a session or perhaps you'd like to just meet me and we can chat and see if we get along well, what we can do together. It'd be awesome.
That sounds wonderful. So the best way to contact you for this would be at marsha@marshadalgan.com.
That or use the button that we're going
to use. Or use the link that you provide.
Yeah, the link is probably the easiest. Well, whatever you like.
That sounds wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Marsha, for your time. And thank you for you being such a celebrity photographer to share your wisdom with us today. And also,
you want to hand
that gift. Well, you're very welcome of being available if people want to work with somebody who can blow their socks off or become a student of yours. I think that sounds fantastic and fascinating.
Thank you so much. This has been a pleasure and a really interesting aspect of what I do. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And I'm sure the audience who are empaths will breathe a sigh of relief knowing that there is a way to use this gift and even use it at an extremely high level like you have. So thank you very much from both the empaths, the photo enthusiasts, and everybody else.
You are very welcome.
For you today.
You're welcome. Take care.
You too. Thank you. This was Dr. Rena Kay for the Divas That Care Network.